Hello, hello. How are you guys doing? Hey, I'm looking forward to Wednesday. If we play Uno, I'm sorry in advance. Our friendship is probably over. I take it seriously. Very, very seriously. Okay, so we're going to jump in with our next edition of our Proverbs series. But I want to start off by asking you a question. Have you ever ignored a phone call only to find out later that that call that you ignored was one that you desperately needed to answer? Maybe you didn't answer because you didn't recognize the number. Maybe you were just busy. Maybe you thought, I'll deal with that later. Most of the time, it's not a big deal, right? But every once in a while, it is. Maybe it's a doctor. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's your spouse, or maybe it's a parent. And then you suddenly realize that was a call that I really needed to answer. A couple of years ago, I learned this lesson in a way that I'll never forget. I was at church working on planning our VBS over at Shepherd, and my family had developed this bad habit. I mean, I considered it bad, but they would call me like 5 times a day when I was in the office. They honestly wanted to check up on me. They wanted to talk to me. They missed me. The heart behind it was really sweet. But if I'm being honest, when you're locked in and trying to finish something and you're focused on work, it can get kind of annoying. I'm sorry, guys. It can get frustrating. So what did I do? Well, I developed a terrible habit. Every time they called me, I'd say, guys, sorry, I can't talk. I'm about to go into a meeting. And I'd say this every single time. And a majority of the time, it was just an excuse to get off the phone. Okay? But it became such a regular excuse that my dad started joking around. He started saying, you must be running the entire church. You must be the busiest man because apparently you're in meetings all day. But then one day I was actually in a meeting with my boss when my mom called. I didn't answer, obviously. So what'd she do? She called again. I didn't answer. She called again and then again and then again. And then after a while, I think she got so frustrated that she texted me. She said, your dad had a heart attack. He's in the hospital and he's going to need open heart surgery as soon as possible. And in that moment, everything changed. My mom, she wasn't calling me because she wanted to catch up. She wasn't calling me because she wanted to chat. She wasn't calling me because she was bored. She was calling me because something was wrong. She had been trying to get my attention over and over and over again, but I kept ignoring the call. And the tragedy wasn't that the call never came. The tragedy was that I didn't answer. And sadly, we don't just do this with the people in our lives. We often do this with God. Because throughout Scripture, God is constantly calling us back to Himself over and over again. He speaks, He invites, He warns, He reaches out. But so often we treat God's voice like something that we can just respond to later. We tell ourselves, I'll just deal with it later. But the scary truth is, we can ignore a phone call and misinformation. But when we ignore the voice of God, we can miss direction, we can miss correction, we can miss the life that He's trying to give us. And Proverbs chapter 1 is going to ask us a sobering question. What happens when we keep ignoring the voice of God? Let me ask you that again. What happens when we keep ignoring the voice of God? And Proverbs chapter 1 verses 20 through 33 answers that question. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to give you a couple of seconds to open up to that scripture. Or if you have the Bible app, we're cool with that too. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. 30 seconds, give me a thumbs up when you got it. I want everyone to open it up if you can. Okay, I see some thumbs up. Perfect. All right, let's read God's word together. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. She says this: how long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you have disregarded all my advice, and do not accept my rebuke, I will turn I will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm. When disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind. When distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge, they did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Can I get an amen? Okay, raise your hand if you think that's intense. When I saw that I was preaching on that scripture, I was like, oh no, that is intense. But I want you to notice something. Did you notice where God begins? Before he ever warns, he calls. Before he ever talks about consequences, he extends an invitation. Because before we can see people refusing to listen, we have to see a God who refuses to stop calling. And here's what Proverbs chapter 1 wants us to understand today. You can put God on hold, but you can't put the consequences on hold. Let me say that again. You can put God on hold all you want, but you can't put the consequences of your actions on hold. They will meet with you. They will come. So let's look back to where it all begins. Let's look back at verse 20. It says this. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. Now you might be wondering, why does Solomon describe wisdom as a woman? Is he talking about an actual woman named Wisdom? What do you guys think? No. This is a literary picture called personification. We're back in English class here, okay? Solomon takes God's wisdom and he personifies it. He gives it a voice. He gives it personality so that we can see something clearly. He wants us to see that God's wisdom is not distant. God is not silent. He's calling out to us. And I want you to notice where Wisdom is. She isn't hidden away in a temple. She isn't locked inside a classroom where only the smartest people can find her. She's literally in the streets. She's in the markets. She's at the city gates. So in other words, she's where ordinary people are. And she's crying out so that everyone can hear her. Wisdom is not trying to hide from humanity. God is not a God who stays silent and expects us to figure it out all on our own. That's not the God that we follow. God speaks, he invites, he warns, he reaches out. And this takes us back to the phone call I talked about earlier. My mom wasn't calling me because she wanted to annoy me, even though sometimes when they'd call, she did. She wasn't calling me because she had nothing better to do. She wasn't calling me for no reason. She was calling me because she knew something that I didn't. She knew there was an emergency. She knew I needed to answer. She knew my dad was having a heart attack in church. That's the heart of God. When God speaks, it's not because he wants to interrupt your life. It's because he sees what you can't see. He knows what you don't know. He sees the consequences you don't see. He sees the danger that you don't see. He sees where that decision you're about to make will lead you before you ever get there. And because he loves you, he calls you back. Let's look at verse 23. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Now that word turn is a beautiful word in Hebrew. It's literally the word shuv, or it might be shove. I don't know. I'm not Hebrew. But it literally means to turn around, to return, or to come back. Isn't that beautiful? God isn't saying, get your life together and then come back to me. He's saying, turn around. Come back. I love you. Come as you are. That's the heart of God. I love this because the first thing wisdom offers isn't punishment. It's restoration. God's correction is not pushing you away. It's God calling you back to him. When a parent warns their child not to run into the street, their warning isn't an act of anger. They're trying to protect their child. It's an act of love. The warning proves that the parent cares. And the same is true with God. every correction, every conviction, every warning, every moment where says God, where God says, don't go in that direction. It's not him trying to take something from you. It's him trying to protect you. Before Proverbs ever talks about the consequences of ignoring God, it first shows us something so important. God has been calling. God has been calling you your entire life. And the question is not, has God spoken? The question is, what has God been trying to say to you that you've been putting on hold? But if we're being honest, this raises another question. If we really believe that God is good, if we really believe that he loves us, if we really believe that his commands are for our good, then why do we keep ignoring him? Let's get to the heart. Why do we hear his voice and still choose our own way? I think there's many different potential options or reasons for this, and I think it might be different for every single person, but let me give you a couple of them. Sometimes we simply don't like what God is saying. We know what Scripture says about forgiveness, but we'd rather hold on to our bitterness. We know what God says about purity, but we'd rather satisfy our own desires. We know he's calling us towards generosity, but we'd rather hold on to our money and keep it for ourselves. The issue isn't that we don't understand what God is saying. It's that we just don't like what he's saying. And the reason that's so tempting is because sin always promises something that God supposedly can't. It whispers, this will make you happy. This will satisfy you. This really isn't that big of a deal. But sin is a terrible salesman. It always overpromises and underdelivers. It advertises freedom, but then it delivers you slavery. It promises life, but then it produces death. It tells us God is keeping something good from us, when in reality, God is trying to keep us from something that's going to destroy us. Every time God says don't, it's not because he's trying to rob you of your joy. It's because he loves you enough to protect you from the pain that's coming. Other times we might ignore God because we convince ourselves that we know better than him. We would never say those words out loud, but often our actions speak for us. Every time we knowingly choose our way over God's way, we're saying, God, I know that you've created me. I know that you know what's best for me. But I think my way will make me happier. Isn't that the same lie that humanity has believed since the Garden of Eden? You don't need to trust God. Your way is better. God is holding out on you. But maybe there's another reason why we continue to ignore God. Maybe it isn't because we don't like what he's saying. Maybe it isn't because we think that we're smarter than him. Maybe it's because we assume we'll always have another opportunity to respond. We'll hear his conviction, but we'll tell ourselves, hey, I'll answer later. I'll get serious about my faith when life settles down. I'll deal with that sin eventually. I'll forgive that person someday. I'll surrender that area of my life when I'm ready. We don't always reject God outright. We just keep postponing him. But here's the problem. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. Let me say that again. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. Stop lying to yourself. Every time we say later, we're making two dangerous assumptions. That we'll have another opportunity to respond, and that our hearts will be just as willing to respond when that day comes. But neither of those things are promised. And over the last couple of weeks, that truth has become incredibly personal to me. 2 weeks ago, one of my friends, someone I've known since middle school, tragically died. She was only 24. She woke up that morning with plans for her future. She had conversations she thought that she can finish later. She had tomorrows that she assumed would come, but she never knew that day would be her last. Church, I'm not saying this to scare anyone. I'm saying it because it reminded me that tomorrow's never guaranteed. We make plans. We assume we'll have another opportunity. We think, I'll get serious about God later. I'll deal with that conviction later. But Scripture never promises us later. It only gives us today. That's why Proverbs is so urgent. Wisdom isn't saying come back whenever it's convenient. God is calling you right now. Don't assume you'll have another opportunity to respond. Because every time we ignore his voice, something begins to happen within us. So with that in mind, what conviction have you been ignoring? What obedience have you been delaying? What has God been trying to ask you to surrender that you've been saying, I'll surrender that later? Maybe for some of you, God's been asking you to forgive someone, but you've been holding on to that hurt. Maybe he's been asking you to confess a sin that no one knows about. Maybe he's been asking you to take a step of faith that honestly scares you, that you feel like you're not ready for. Or maybe it's something much quieter. He's simply been asking you to spend more time with him every day, but you always find another reason to put it off. Whatever it is, don't mistake God's patience for permission. His voice is calling because his heart is pursuing you. But here's where Proverbs takes us next. Because the danger isn't just that we're missing what God is saying. The danger is what happens inside of us when we continually choose to ignore him. Because every time we hear God's voice and refuse to respond, something begins to happen within our hearts. Our hearts begin to become hardened. Let's look at verse 24. Because I have called and you refused to listen, I have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Notice the language that Solomon uses. Wisdom says, I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. You ignored, you hated. The issue was never that God wasn't clear. The issue was that they repeatedly refused to listen. God called, they ignored. God reached out, they turned away. And that's how a heart becomes hardened. Not overnight, but slowly. One ignored conviction, one delayed act of obedience, of one compromise, one moment where I say that I'll deal with that later. A hardened heart is rarely created by one big decision. It's usually formed through many small decisions where we choose not to listen. Think about a check engine light in your car. Raise your hand if that's ever shown up in your car. I'm sorry. When the light first comes on, most people, they don't just immediately panic. They don't pull over on the side of the road and say, oh, my car's ruined, it's destroyed. Usually we do something like this. Oh, it's probably nothing. I'll get a check next week. I'll deal with it when I have more time or more money. And sometimes the car keeps running. You drive to work, you run errands. Everything seems normal, so eventually you just stop paying attention to the light. But the reason you stop noticing the warning wasn't because the problem went away. It was because you got used to ignoring it. And spiritually, that's what happens to us. The first time God convicts us, we feel it. We know something needs to change. We feel that Holy Spirit tug that Johnny talks about. We feel the Holy Spirit pulling us back. But if we keep ignoring him, eventually the thing that convicts us doesn't bother us the same anymore. The sin that once broke our hearts becomes something that we learn to justify. The obedience that God once asked of us becomes something we keep putting off. The voice we once responded to becomes a voice that we learn to ignore. And the scary thing about ignoring God's voice isn't that God stops speaking. It's that we stop listening. And that's the danger that Proverbs is warning us about. A person doesn't just drift away all at once. They drift one ignored moment at a time. And church, this is why ignoring God's voice is so dangerous. Because the goal of the enemy is not to make you hate God, not all the time at least. But sometimes the strategy is much quieter, much more strategic. It's to convince you that you have more time, that you can repent later, that you can obey later, that you can surrender later, that you can just deal with it later. But every time we delay responding to God, our hearts become a little less sensitive to his voice. And that's why Proverbs gives us this warning. The greatest danger of ignoring God is not just what happens around us. It's not just our circumstances. The greatest danger is what happens within us. But here's what Proverbs wants us to understand. Ignoring God's voice doesn't just change our hearts. Eventually, it'll change our lives. Let's look at verses 31 through 32. It says this, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way, and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Did you catch that phrase? They shall eat the fruit of their way. Solomon is saying that every path eventually produces a harvest. Every choice is planting a seed. Every habit is growing something. Every voice that you follow is leading you somewhere. And farmers understand something that our culture often forgets. You never plant corn and then expect apples. Can I get an amen? You never plant weeds and hope roses grow. Can I get an amen? The harvest always matches the seed. Spiritually, that's true too. Every habit is planting. Every conversation is planting. Every entertainment choice is planting. Every act of obedience is planting. Every compromise is planting. And eventually, every one of our lives is going to be shown by the harvest that we've been cultivating. And that's why the little decisions matter so much. Because today's choices becomes tomorrow's life. Eventually, you eat the fruit of the life that you've been cultivating. Remember the check engine light, right? For a while, nothing seemed wrong. The car still started. It still drove. Everything seemed fine, so you kept putting it off. You ignored the warning because the consequences weren't immediate. But one day, the engine finally gives out. The car's sitting on the side of the road. You got to call AAA. And in that moment, you realize something. The breakdown didn't happen that day. It had been happening for weeks. You just ignored the warning signs. Church, that's exactly what Proverbs is describing. Few people wake up one morning and say, "Today I'm gonna ruin my life." Instead, they ignore God's voice again and again and again until one day they look around and they say, "How did I end up here?" A marriage falls apart. A friendship is destroyed. An addiction takes control. A reputation is lost. A relationship with God becomes distant. And it feels sudden, but it wasn't sudden. It was the result of 1,000 ignored moments. And maybe you've asked yourself that question before. How did I get here? Maybe it was a broken relationship. Maybe it was an addiction. Maybe it was a season where you felt farther from God than you could have possibly ever imagined. You never planned up to end up there. Nobody wakes up and says, "Yeah, I'm going to just destroy my life. That sounds like a good plan for today. Let me put that on the itinerary." No. They just keep saying later. And then one day later finally catches up with them. One ignored conviction, one delayed act of obedience, one compromise after another. That's why Solomon says they eat the fruit of their ways. The fruit didn't appear overnight. But the scary thing about harvest is that by the time you see the fruit, the season for planting has already passed. It grew over time. And here's the sobering truth. God's warnings were never meant to seal your joy. They were never meant to do that. They were meant to spare your pain. Because God can see the destination before you ever start walking on the road. He knows where bitterness leads. He knows where lust leads. He knows where pride leads. He knows where greed leads. He knows where unforgiveness leads. And that's why he calls. That's why he warns. That's why he reaches out. Not because he just wants to control your life, but because he loves you too much to watch you destroy it. Can I get an amen? And that's why our big idea is so important. You can put God on hold, but you can't put the consequences on hold. Let me say that again. I really want to drill this into your mind. You can put God on hold all that you want, but you can't put the consequences of doing that on hold. So here's a question. What happens when we've already ignored his voice? What happens when we've already made the wrong choices? What happens when we've already walked down a road that we know that we shouldn't have walked down? Because the truth is this. Every single one of us has had moments where we've ignored God. Raise your hand if you've had that moment. I know I have. Every single one of us has had moments where we've chosen our way instead of his way. And if Proverbs chapter 1 ended with consequences, we would all be left without hope. But praise God, Proverbs doesn't just end with a warning, it ends with an invitation. Because the same God who warns us about where our choices lead is the same God who still calls us back. The same wisdom that cries out in the streets does not stop pursuing people who have wandered. She keeps calling. She keeps reaching. She keeps inviting. Because God's goal is not simply to show us where our path leads. His goal is to lead us back to himself. Let's look at verse 33. But whoever listens to me will dwell securely and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Did you notice that first word? Whoever. Not whoever has never ignored God. Not whoever has never made a mistake. It's whoever listens. Whoever turns. Whoever responds. Whoever's willing to hear his voice. Whoever's willing to pick up the call. The final word of wisdom is not you failed. The final word of wisdom is come back. Come back to me. Listen to the promise God gives. You will dwell securely. That doesn't mean Christians never experience suffering. It means we finally are standing on solid ground. It means we no longer have to navigate life alone. We no longer have to carry the burden of trying to save ourselves. There's a security in walking with God because we're walking with the one who already knows the destination. That's the invitation of Proverbs. Not just to escape the consequences, but to finally find peace. Who here wants peace? Who here wants it? Peace is an amazing thing. And the God of Proverbs chapter 1 is not standing far away, waiting for people who have wandered to finally get what they deserve. No, that's not our God. He's the God who's been pursuing them all along. And this is what makes the message of Jesus so powerful. Worship team, you can come on up. Because Proverbs chapter 1 shows us that wisdom is crying out in the streets. But hundreds of years later, God himself came down and walked those same streets. Jesus became the voice of God in the flesh. The same God who called people back through wisdom came personally to call people back through his Son. And just like wisdom called people to turn from destruction and find life, Jesus called people to himself. He said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. He said, follow me. He said, repent and believe. Jesus did not come for people who had perfectly listened to God their entire lives. He came for people who had ignored him time after time. After time, after time, people who had wandered, people who had chosen their own way, people who have eaten the fruit of their own decisions. And the most amazing part is this. Think about what truly happened on the cross. Jesus never ignored his Father's voice. Not once. Every command the Father gave, Jesus obeyed. Every step, every sacrifice, every act of obedience, even when obedience led him to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he literally was so afraid of going to that cross that he cried tears of blood. He obeyed then. And he even obeyed when it led him to Golgotha, where he would actually lay down his life for us on the cross. The only perfectly obedient son willingly took the consequences that belonged to the rebellious sons and daughters. At that cross, God's warning and God's mercy met. Justice was satisfied. Grace is offered. The consequences we deserved fell on him so that the security and life promised in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33 could be given to us. The hands that wisdom stretched out in Proverbs chapter 1 as an invitation became the same hands that were stretched out on the cross to save us. The voice calling us back was willing to be silenced so that we could be brought home. And that takes us back to the phone call from the beginning. Looking back, my biggest regret wasn't that I missed that phone call from my mom. My biggest regret was that I treated that important call like it could wait. My mom wasn't calling to bother me. She wasn't calling me because she wanted my attention for no reason. She was calling me because she loved me. And she knew something that I didn't know. And church, that's the heart of God. Every conviction, every warning, every moment where God says, come back. It's not because he wants to take something from you. He already has everything in his hands. It's because he loves you too much to let you keep walking down a road that leads to destruction. So maybe today God has been calling you. Maybe there's something that he's been asking you to surrender. Maybe there's a step of obedience that you've been delaying. Maybe you've been saying, I'll deal with that later. But looking back, I wish I had answered my mom's call the first time. But here's something I've never forgotten. She didn't stop calling after one missed call. She called again and again and again, and then she texted me. Why? Because she loved me. And church, isn't that exactly what God has done? He's called you through his word. He's called you through his spirit. He's called you through his people. He's called you through the church. He's called you through conviction. He's called you through circumstance. And maybe he's calling you right now through this sermon. I want to ask you one final question. What has God been saying to you that you've been pretending to not hear? Don't answer me. Answer him. Church, don't ignore the call. Tomorrow isn't promised, but today, his grace is. The God who's calling you today is the same God who stretched out his hands for you on that cross. He's not calling you because he wants to condemn you. He's calling you because he wants to save you. And we all need to be saved. Can I get an amen? He's not calling you because he wants to shame you. He's calling you because he wants to bring you home. So if you hear his voice today, don't treat it like it can wait. Today is the day to answer. And Proverbs chapter 1 reminds us of one important truth. God's voice is too important to put on hold. Because you can put God on hold all you want, but you can't put the consequences on hold. So right now, we're going to take a couple of minutes to reflect. What has God been calling me to do? What has he put on my heart? What have I constantly ignored time and time again? Tomorrow is not promised. So today is the day for you to pick up his call. Let's take a couple of minutes to reflect.